Hey, if I haven't met you before, my name is Matt Bradley, and I have the privilege and honor of leading our East Campus as the interim campus pastor. And we're so glad you're here. This is your first time. Welcome. We are in week three of this series we've been in called Fueling the Flame. And we chose that word specifically because as we enter in this new season as a church, you know, the North Campus was quite literally gifted a new building. Let's celebrate that. Yes. Our East Campus is getting updates that it desperately needs. This new season we're heading into, it can oftentimes be really easy for us to say, hey, man, God is doing something so cool. Look at what he's doing. He's moving now. It's awesome. And we can lose sight of everything God has done for us and through us as a church over the years. So I love this bumper video. It gives a quick history of us as a church. Because when we chose this bumper video and this theme for these next season we're in, Fueling the Flame, that word fueling was super intentional because God ignited something in us already. And all he is doing is, yes, he is doing something new, but he's continuing the work that he's already done. He's fueling the flame that has already ignited so long ago. And so as we're in week three, I want you to think about this idea of, man, like, what is something in your life that you experienced, that you dove deep into, and because you did that, it led to greater things for you, things that you never thought you would get to a chance to imagine. For me, I think about music. Growing up, my sister was in marching band, and she played the flute and the piccolo, which I could not imagine two, like, more feminine instruments to play than the flute or the piccolo. And my uncle played the trumpet. And when I got into middle school, I was like, well, I got to pick an extracurricular. I'll do band because that's what my sister's done. And so I got the trumpet out and I started playing it. And I learned the basics of the trumpet. Like I figured out like the finger placements for the different notes to hit the different notes on the trumpet. And I learned the basics of reading music. I understood that basically if it goes higher, that means the pitch gets higher. If it gets lower, the pitch gets lower. But I learned something that I didn't define it when I was a kid at this point, but as an adult, I learned that I could basically learn how to play something by ear. So I didn't finish learning how to read like if you put a piece of sheet music in front of me, I'm like, all right, I need to go higher or lower, but I don't know what everything means. I don't know when to rest, I don't know when to pause. I just listen to everyone around me and I match their pitch and I match what they're doing. And so it's really cool. Now here's the reason why I share all that. Because even though I know very little about it, it ignited this desire in me to just fall in love with music. I love classical music. And you're looking at me like, that's weird. I'm like, I agree. But I absolutely love it. There is something that stirs within me when I hear all the different instruments coming together to form this one beautiful piece of music. In fact, my favorite type, and it sounds is yet again, it's for me, and it might, movie themes. So not like a soundtrack where it's like a band's playing a song with music. Like no, I love like the instrumental pieces of like movie soundtracks. If you come into the offices and my door is closed and you hear the Avengers soundtrack playing, there's this one that's called Portals, and it's like starts with like doom. I'm getting pumped. Thank you. I'm getting pumped just thinking about it right now. Like, but if that's playing, do not open my door because that means I am hyper focused and I am doing work, right? Right. But there's just something about that. And what's really cool is that I had no idea that little sixth grade Matt picking up the trumpet from Lunsford Music would turn into this passion I have and this desire I have to want to dive deeper and learn more about this, to be able to want to go and listen to the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra and get excited about that. Like, it developed this passion, and I've got a chance to experience things I never would have experienced before, to enjoy things on a level I never thought I would get to enjoy before. And the same is true for you. You've experienced this. Maybe for you it was a job. Maybe you got a job somewhere, and you were like, you know what, I'm going to be at this place for like 2 years at the most, and then I'm done. But next thing you know, 10 years has gone by and it's become a career for you. You fell in love with this job. You fell in love with this, with what you do as a job, and it's led to things you've never got to experience before. It led to promotions. It led to advancements. It's led to you getting a chance to do things. I think about my sister-in-law. Like, y'all, my sister-in-law is one of the smartest people I know. Like, she works for Pilot in their corporate office, and she's one of the top people. And like, I saw her Instagram story. She was in New York this past week. She says, "Look at the view from my hotel." And I'm like, that's crazy. But here's the deal. Samantha's worked so hard and she found a career, and it's so cool because she's getting a chance to experience things that she never got a chance to experience before. And I love getting a chance to hear some of the stories she'll share with me. And maybe for you, it was a hobby. Maybe you fell in love with a hobby that like just you randomly picked up one day. And you never imagined it would lead you to meeting some of the people that you've met or interacting with some of the people that you've interacted with. Like, I think about someone that comes to the North, that attends the North Campus. If you're watching online, attends the North Campus. And like, what started as a hobby of just making blankets or making little things for people has turned into this full-blown business. And she's making all these connections with people. And it's a ministry. Like, it's really cool, right? But she had no idea, probably in that moment, that her doing this would lead to some things that she's experienced now. And it's led to some really cool, like, I've heard her share stories with me before. Like, it's awesome. Maybe you fell in love with someone, right? Maybe you met that person like, hey, girl, right? And here's the truth. When I met my wife, right, like, it's led to things I never in a million years thought that I would be married to someone and I could act as goofy as I do. Like, y'all, like, here, like, I'm a goof. Like, y'all think I act weird here. It was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. I was just standing in our kitchen, and there was some music that came on. I'm like, like, just dancing. And she's just looking at me like, that's mine. Like, what can I say, right? But the thing is, this idea of experiencing things that we've never experienced before and doing things we've never done before, like, the same is true when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. The same thing is true because, man, when you surrender your life to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, something incredible begins to happen. A change happens inside of you that you can't explain to anyone else, but you know that something is different. And you begin to experience life in new ways. You begin to do things and treat people like you never thought you would treat them before. So this is what I want us to understand today. If you take nothing else today, as we continue in this series about fueling the flame, I want you to understand something really cool that happens when our flame is fueled. That fueling the flame leads to greater things I have never seen. To understand this, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of John. If you're new to the Bible or you're new to Christianity, the first four books of what we call the New Testament are called the Gospels, the stories of Jesus' life. And they're told from different perspectives of the people that followed him or heard stories from people that closely followed him. John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is the last of the four. And it's honestly my favorite because I feel like we get sassy Jesus in the book of John, right? Like, I know that sounds silly. Read them and then you tell me if it's not, he looks at people and he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Like, that's sassy Jesus right there. I'm just telling you. But we see this version of Jesus that we don't really get a chance to see. And what's really cool about it, and I shared this in the first service, like, I love The Chosen. And when you watch The Chosen, one of my favorite things to think about is that when you're reading the book of Matthew, you're reading the book of John or the book of Mark or the book of Luke, like, particularly, like, think about Matthew and John. I love it. The way they portray those characters on The Chosen is that Matthew will sit there with a tablet and he'll be listening to Jesus and be writing things down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's probably writing like Matthew chapter 13 right now. That's really cool. And there's this really cool moment early on where it's a scene that happens with John 3:16. And if you grew up in church, you know that that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And in the middle of this scene happening, it cuts to like John and one of the other disciples sitting behind a wall trying to listen intently to what Jesus is saying. And John is just fervently taking notes. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's writing John 3:16 in that moment. That's just cool to think about. We don't know that it actually happened that way, but it's a cool thought to think about the fact that, man, like, what we're reading when we read the Gospels is the accounts of Jesus's life while he was here, his life, his death, and his resurrection. So that's what we're reading. And at this point in the book of John, in John chapter 14, what's happening essentially is this, is that Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples that he for his to essentially leave. He's trying to prepare them saying, hey, listen, my time on this earth, it's drawing to a close. It's almost over. And his disciples are having a hard time with this, as they naturally would. I mean, one of your closest friends looks at you and says, hey, listen, my time together, our time together, it's almost over. It's almost done. And so he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to motivate them and remind them of, hey, listen, I'm right here with you. It's going to be okay. So that's where we pick up in John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. It says this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now, we're going to pause here for a second. We're going to focus on a very small word. It's highlighted in there, but there's a small little two-letter word, in. I-N. And the reason why we're focusing on it is because if we're honest, when we read over this, it's easy for us to just to gloss over this short little word, these short little two letters. But notice what Jesus is saying. It says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. So what does this mean? Well, here's the deal. There's a difference between believing in something and believing that something can be done. Right now, you guys are all doing this. You believe in the chair's ability to hold you up. You sat down, and when you sat down, I think someone walked across the chairs earlier in the middle of, like, something happened. Like, I'm pretty positive. I was like, all right, more power to you. I'd be falling over, like, right now. Like, but you're believing in the chair's ability to hold you up. You're believing in the way it was designed, in the frame, in the cushion to provide comfort. You're believing in that chair. Believing that the chair can hold you up simply just means looking at, like, there's a chair right here. It's got a cup in it. I'm glad it's holding up the cup. But I can say I believe that that chair can hold me up. It transfers into believing in the chair can hold me up when I plop my booty down in the chair. All right? Here's another example. When I was, many years ago, I was the leader of a middle school guys small group. And we went to camp. And while we were at camp, there was a day called Adventure Day. And a part of Adventure Day was a trust fall. I don't know why this was a big thing in the 90s and early 2000s. I've not seen it since then because probably there were so many lawsuits, it's not even funny. This is a trust fall. You get up on a platform about the same height of this stage. If you're watching online, I'm sorry. Trust me, it's tall enough to where I wouldn't just want to fall off it, okay? And you get up there and you turn your back to the edge of it. So, like, I would look like this, all right? And I would be arms crossed and I would say, ready, and they would say, ready, and I would say falling, and they would say fall, and there would be people at the bottom of this platform, and their arms would be crossed, like interlocked like this. So my arms would be between someone, like someone's arm would be right here, another one right here. All right, that's a trust fall. Now, I've always been a big man, but if you've never been peer pressured by middle school boys, you don't know what peer pressure is. And so these middle school boys would be like, do it, Matt, do it, bro, do it, Matt, and I'm like, let's go. I'm going to do it. And I've always been big. And so I get up there and I'm praying, like, quite literally. I'm like, all right, something's going to happen right now. I know where I'm going. Let's just pray these kids aren't traumatized. So I get up there. I do it, cross my arms. I say, ready. And they go, ready, because they're middle school boys. And I say, falling. And I say, fall. And I fell back, y'all. Here's the difference. I believed that those boys could catch me. That belief turns into a believed in they could catch me when I stiffed my body up and just went falling straight back off that platform. Eyes were closed. I opened them. And this is what I see. My feet were up here. My head was down here. So the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes was my feet up in the air. I'm like, that's interesting. My head was about that far away from the ground. I believed in their ability to catch me, and so I fell. And I praise God to this day that they caught me. Here's the deal. When it comes to following Jesus, you can believe that he was a real man, that he was a good man, and not believe in him as your Lord and Savior. In fact, I would say it this way. The flame is ignited when I believe in Jesus, not just believe that he is real. Because here's the difference. The difference between believing that those boys could catch me and believing in their ability to catch me was the moment I surrendered and just fell back. That's the same thing when it comes to following Jesus. You can believe that Jesus hears your prayers and he's willing to answer them. But believing in it means that you are going to commit yourself to crying out to him with anything and everything. To being real with him and saying, God, I need you in this moment. God, thank you so much for this blessing. This is why we as a church are taking these 40 days of prayer and fasting so seriously. Because I believe, we believe that there is power in prayer. I believe in a Savior that hears my prayers and is going to answer them. I believe in a Savior who, when I fast and deny myself, will strengthen me and grow me closer to him. You can say, I believe that God has control over my finances. Believing in that means trusting him with those finances. There is a difference, and that difference is surrender. Letting go of the life that we want for something so much better. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is addressing his disciples again, and he says this, if you try to hang on to your life, you will, everyone say this word with me on the count of three, one, two, three, lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Here's the truth. The Bible never promises that you will have nothing as a follower of Jesus. The Bible also doesn't promise that you will have everything. You will be wealthy as a follower of Jesus. The Bible doesn't promise you will be sick as a follower of Jesus. The Bible also doesn't promise you'll be healthy as a follower of Jesus. What the Bible does promise is that no matter what your circumstances are, Jesus is enough. He is worthy and he is worth following and being with, and you just have to trust him. You have to believe in him as your Lord and Savior. So what does that look like? The Bible makes it very, very clear in the book of Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is your Lord. And here's the deal. That gets thrown around so much, and we lose sight of it. To be Lord over someone's life means that, like, they have ultimate control over your life, right? We don't like that here in America, because the truth is we're very independent. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. If someone looked at me and said, you can never go to Disney World again, I'd be like, I'll fight you. But if Jesus looked at me and said, Matt, you know what? I want you to follow me, and that means you will never have the money to be able to go to Disney World ever again. I can honestly say, I'm not saying it would be easy. I need you to hear me right now, and I want you to understand, like, this is a true example for me. I love going to Disney World. My wife and I are going there in November for our 5-year anniversary. I love it. I feel like a kid. I can be goofy as all get out. I can dance like I did in my kitchen, only in public. It was great, all right? But here's the deal. If Jesus looked at me and said, Matt, I've got something so much better for you, but it's going to mean that you're never going to be able to set foot on Disney World property ever again, I would have to be like, you know what, Jesus, this is hard, but you're worth so much more to me. I'm willing to do that. Each of us in this room have things that we want to hold on to. It might be your job. It might be your status. It might be your spouse. It might be your money. At the end of the day, Jesus is just saying, hey, listen, don't hold on to those things, because eventually you will lose your life and you can't take those things with you. But man, follow me, and I promise you, you will gain so much more than you could possibly dream or imagine. That's what he's saying in this moment. And so when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord over your life, that he is in control, and you believe in your heart that he was risen from the grave, in other words, he conquered sin and death in that moment, that is when we will be saved. That is when you will be saved. And there's some of you in this room that you need to make that decision today. That even as I'm sharing this, you're feeling something bubble inside of you. It's not indigestion. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the Holy Spirit calling something out in you right now, trying to wake you up from the sleep you've been in. Because here's what's cool. We keep reading and it says this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. What is Jesus saying in this moment? You got to understand something. At this point in Scripture, at this point in the gospel, in the book of John, this is what the disciples have seen Jesus do. They've seen him heal the blind, raise the dead, heal the sick. They have seen Jesus do incredible things, and yet he is telling them, he's telling you, and he's telling me that if we believe in him, if we surrender our lives to him, that not only will we be able to do the things that they've already seen, we'll be able to do even greater things. This is so mind-blowing to me. That we serve a God that doesn't just want us to sit and soak and sit in a building and just like hide our little flame. Like when he ignites a flame in us, he wants us to share. He doesn't want us to sit there and hide it and do nothing with it. But he wants us to be a people that live on mission. He wants us to do even greater things. Parents, if you have kids in this room, you understand this concept. You want your kids to do better than what you've done. You want your kids to have a better life than what you have had in the past. My mom, rest her soul, I love her and I miss her so much. She was terrible with money. And there were oftentimes when she would tell me, Matt, I don't want you, like, don't make the same mistakes I've made. Don't do this with money. Make sure that you put money into savings. Just be mindful of what you spend. And the reason she would tell me those things was not because she wanted to have control over my money, but because she wanted me to have a better life than what she was able to give herself. She wanted me to be able to do something better. I think about my papa, who was a father figure to me. Then my papa would just randomly take me outside in the hot sun because he loved to work in his backyard and his front yard. He loved to garden. He loved to do all these things. And he had me do this manual labor, have me do all this work, and he'd be like, and I'd be like, what's going on? And when I think back to it, those were the moments when he would teach me very important life lessons. And he would do that because he wanted me to grow up and have a better life than what he had. He wanted me to be better and do greater things than what he had done. We serve a heavenly Father who wants the same things for you and for me. Yes, Jesus wants to ignite that flame, but he also wants your flame to be fueled. Go to the next slide. Jesus wants my flame to be fueled. Jesus wants your flame to be fueled. He doesn't want it just to sit there and eventually wither out and go out and get snuffed out. He wants it to be fueled. He wants you to be a people living on mission. He wants you to be people going out, telling people about who he is, what he has done, how he has changed the world, how he has changed your life. It was so cool in first service. Jamie comes up to me and she says, there's a whole group of people here and they were brought by one person. They were invited by one person. And a lot of them are struggling with different things. They're going through different things. And here's what's really cool about that, guys. That guy's life was changed. That his flame was ignited. And Jesus is what's fueling that flame. And you can tell that there is a difference in how he's living his life. How he is telling other people about what God has done in him and what God is doing through him. And it's you can see it. You can see what God is doing. And he is doing greater things than he could possibly dream or imagine. Not because he started going to a church service, not because he started attending a men's group, but because he has put his trust and his faith, he has surrendered his life to Jesus. That is what's fueling his flame. I keep reading. It says this. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, we read this, it's very confusing, because yet again, he's talking to his disciples, and he's trying to tell them, hey, not only like you believe in me, not only you're going to be able to do the things you've seen, you're going to be able to do even greater things. And when they finally hear how they're going to do it, it's probably very perplexing. It says, because I am going to be with the Father. So imagine this teacher that you're following, you followed for 3 years, telling you, hey, listen, you're going to do some incredible things because I'm leaving, right? Yet again, parents, think about this. There's parents in the rooms that had to drop their kids off at college here recently. Here's the deal. The goal of raising that child, yet again, is so they can live apart from you. When you drop your kid off, I want you to hear me. Parents, if you're still, if your child is over the age of 18 and you're still calling them and making doctor's appointments for them, just stop. No more. I probably rattled some feathers just then, okay? It's not cute, I promise. They can do it. But the goal as a parent is to raise your child so that they can know what it looks like to live on their own, to survive on their own. Jesus is telling the disciples, and he's telling you and me, hey, listen, I am going to the Father, and it's because I am going to the Father that you're going to be able to do even greater things. And he quantifies this later on in chapter 14, but he talks about this thing called an advocate. And what an advocate is someone who goes on behalf for us, who speaks and encourages us and works for us with God. He talks about this a lot, but he gives a name to the advocate right here in verse 26. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So what does this mean here? I even had trouble in the first service, and I'm still having trouble today because I want y'all to hear my heart behind what I'm sharing right now. I'm about to say some things and it's going to be harsh, but I want you to understand, like, I'm not saying them flippantly. And even in my notes, I talked about, hey, I need to be bold in this moment. We live in a world with what's called cultural Christianity. And what that means is that there's a difference between cultural Christianity and biblical Christianity. Cultural Christianity puts things on pedestals that were never meant to be put on pedestals. Religion, buildings, pastors. And so the hard part when I read this, and when you read this, if you're not careful, if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can replace the Holy Spirit with whatever we want to. We could say, but the advocate, Rodney Arnold, whom the Father will send in my name. But the advocate, Matthew Bradley, the advocate, Crystal Holifield, the advocate, Baptist, the advocate, Missionary Church, the advocate, that new building in Carnes. And we get so caught up on these things. We put these things on pedestals. We care so deeply and get so angry at the silliest, piddliest little things. The Holy Spirit is what fuels everything. I preached a sermon on this a few months ago. The Holy Spirit is what fuels the church. And the scariest thing is that we can do everything on a Sunday morning apart from the Holy Spirit. It does not matter if there is someone on this stage preaching to you live or you're watching the screen behind me. If that bothers you, then you need to talk to God about it. It does not matter who is standing on this stage preaching to you. If you prefer me over Rodney, get over it. If you prefer Rodney over me, get over it. The Holy Spirit is the one fueling and doing the work. I am just blessed, humbled, and thankful that he has allowed me to stand up here and do this. I got a chance to have a meeting with Crystal the other day, and let me go ahead and tell you guys, you all, I don't know if you understand how lucky you are to have a leader who truly cries out and prays for you throughout the week, who intentionally loves and cares for each of you, cares for this body in a way I have not ever seen. And I'll be real with you guys right now, I've never seen from a man before. So if you're worried about whether or not she's a man or a woman, let me go and tell you right now, Crystal is able to do so much more here, not because of who she is, but because of what God has done in her and through her. stop putting things on pedestals that were never meant to be put on pedestals. The Holy Spirit is the fuel for this flame. Nothing else. If you want to see your life transformed, if you want to see Jesus do things even greater than what we've read about in Scripture, what we've heard about, it first means you've got to surrender. You've got to give up that control and trust Him with everything. We live in a weird world because we live, yet again, cultural Christianity would say, as long as you're a good person, you're fine. And one of the most furious, infuriating things when I go to funerals and I hear someone who I know the life that they lived and I know that they never surrendered their life to Jesus, but they were a good person. When I see someone stand on a stage like this and say, they were such a good person, now they have their wings in heaven. No, they don't. If they did not give their life to Jesus, they are unfortunately not in heaven in that moment. And that's terrifying, and that should terrify you. That should be motivating for us to be able to say, you know what? I want to make sure that my friend, my brother, my sister, my wife, my husband, my next door neighbor, my coworker, I want to make sure that when I go to their funeral, I can stand confidently knowing that they surrendered their life, they love Jesus, and they are worshiping Him in heaven. I don't want to trust that just because they gave to some charity once that they're good. I don't want to trust it just because they served on a Sunday morning that they were good. I want to know, and that means we have got to be able to go out and live on mission. We've got to be willing to go out and trust that God's in. We cannot rely on anybody else but God to fuel us, to motivate us, to encourage us to step out and live on mission. And so, yes, surrender. And trust that you serve a heavenly Father who wants to see you do these things, who wants to see you share your flame with other people. I use an example in the first service of how, like, if you hold two lighters next to each other and you light one, and let's say that the clicker's not working on it, it's not sparking anything, as long as there's some gas in that lighter, you can hold the other lighter near it and it'll ignite that other flame. That's what you and I are called to do every single day. We're meant to go out and through the power of the Holy Spirit, fuel the flames of those around us, ignite the flames of those around us, and watch Jesus transform those people around us. And as we wrap up right now, I just wonder what this looks like for you. Maybe you're sitting here right now and you would say, if you're honest, and actually, everyone bow your heads. Bow your heads, close your eyes. There's people in this room right now that, man, like, you feel the Holy Spirit stirring in you, but you're afraid because you've been following cultural Christianity. You gave your life to Jesus when you were 5 years old, but your life was never transformed. It was never changed. You've never experienced that flame being ignited within you. And man, if that is you right now, I would just ask, what are you waiting for? You are literally here right now. The Holy Spirit is working on you. He brought you. He woke you up this morning, gave you breath in your lungs so that you could be in here in this moment and hopefully be encouraged yet again, not by some man's words, but by the Holy Spirit. And so if that is you right now in this room, I want to encourage you just to confess, to say, Lord, to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I confess that I am a sinner and I have messed up and I am done living this life without you. Take control and ignite this flame within me. Maybe you're in this room right now, and if you're honest, you've been in what the Bible would describe as the dark night of the soul. You've been struggling. And I've been there. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. It's hard sometimes to wake up in the morning and wonder, God, is it even worth it? What's going on? What are you doing? And if that's you right now, I just want to encourage and challenge you, man, same thing as before, confess. Be real and be vulnerable. Be honest with your Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you and wants to walk with you through the junk you're going through. It's true that if you have a wound that's festering, it's infected, sometimes the best thing you can do for that wound is to cut it open, to let fresh air and sunlight in so that it can be healed. There are some of you in this room that you need to have some wounds cut open by the Holy Spirit today. And that means being very vulnerable and honest with God in this moment. And if you're worried about that, just go and read the book of Psalms. If you want to be depressed, read the book of Psalms. If you want to have joy, read the book of Psalms. It's literally cries to God on both sides of the spectrum. It's literally people crying out saying, God, where are you? What have you done? Why have you abandoned me? While also saying, you're the joy of my life. You're the joy of my salvation, God. You are where I find peace and comfort and rest. Both can be true. And God just wants to walk with you through it. Maybe you're here and you would say, Matt, you know what? My flame, it was ignited. It's going. And I'm pumped and I'm ready to do whatever I can, whatever it takes. Just help me understand. Let me go and tell you. Right now would be the time where you would hear me probably say, hey, join a microchurch or start a microchurch or join a volunteer team. I would love for you to do those things. But more than anything, if you know that that flame has been ignited inside of you, I would love for you to go and knock on your next door neighbor's door today and just say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, listen, I want to get to know you. Hey, you want to come over for dinner? Let your life be an example of who Jesus is. Start praying for those opportunities. Start praying for opportunity to share the gospel with your coworkers, to share the gospel with your neighbors, with your family members that don't know him, so that you, like I said earlier, you can stand confident, because one day each of us is going to die at some point. And we can stand confident in knowing that those people that we love so dearly are worshiping God in heaven. Because imagine with me for a moment. Imagine with me if we were a church that truly believed this, if we weren't a church that just had a pretty slogan that said fueling the flame, but we truly put this into practice, what that would look like for us. Imagine the difference we would make. If you want to see revival, if you want to see things spark, and yet again, I would love to have this building full. I would love to have the new building full. I would love to have the East Campus full, but I would love even more if your job became another church, became another ecclesia. I would love it even more if your neighborhood became an ecclesia, a group of called out believers that were just living on mission naturally. How incredible would that be if Knoxville, Tennessee was an ecclesia full of people living on mission that were willing to do whatever it took to tell someone else about what God has done, about this flame that he ignited within you. Man, that is something I can get behind, and that is something I know you can get behind, but it takes each of us being willing to take steps of faith and trust in God. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we praise you. I thank you that you sent your Son to be a sacrifice for my sins and for the sins of everyone in the world. That God, through that sacrifice, you no longer look at me and see the things I've done, the bad I've done. You no longer look at me and see the sins I've committed, but you see your Son. I am covered by the blood of his sacrifice. And God, we praise you for that. We praise you that he not only conquered sin in that moment, but 3 days later he would rise again and conquer death. God, may we be a people that live boldly and believe that. May we be a people, God, that believe that you are working, you have been working, you will work, and you are going to do incredible things in the years to come. May we trust that you are going to walk with us and keep us. I love you, Lord. And I ask this in your holy name. Amen. Let's all stand up. Let's sing one last song together.